Welcome to Behind the Headlines, your daily roundup of stories our reporters have been covering across the UK today. It's not always the most serious. We do try to find some of the more talkable issues or quirkier stories and give them more time than we can usually fit into our hourly news bulletins. And today we're obviously talking about the hot weather.
What was happening every few years is now happening every year.
We've also got the latest migrant figures and what that might mean for the government, and Scotland's supersonic business boost from Oasis.
It's been absolutely rammed. It's much busier than Taylor Swift, Robbie Williams. It's been a good few days though.
Now, I know it is summer, so we would expect it to be hot, but for much of England, it's hotter than we're used to. So much so, the UK Health Security Agency has put out an amber heat health alert for the Midlands, East and South East and London today. The rest of England's covered by a yellow warning. It means health and social care services could be impacted more than usual due to the high temperatures, including the potential for a rise in deaths, particularly among those aged 65 and over or with health conditions. In a moment, we'll hear from a weather and climate expert on whether this will become the norm. But first, let's hear from some people in the capital with how they're dealing with the soaring temperatures.
I'm enjoying it, but it's just a little bit too hot.
It's gone a bit too far.
It's gone a bit too far, yes.
What are some of your favourite things to do in the capital when it's this weather?
I like using the ladies' pond in Hampstead. Now it's, in weather like this, often a bit crowded.
Do you say that London's its best when the sun is out like this?
Probably not, because people don't know how to behave properly and look after themselves. It's got to be nice weather, but not this hot.
It's just weather, you know, like Scotland's cold usually, like it's hot in England. I can't like that.
What's your top tip for trying to keep cool in this weather?
Keep in the shade, isn't it? Stay out the sun. Stay in the shade.
Well, our regional correspondent Jonathan Richards has been along to the University of Reading's Weather Observatory to talk to Keith Shine, their Professor of Meteorology and Climate Science. He started by asking him what the stats from the observatory were telling us about this summer.
The summer we're having is in line with recent summers, which have been exceptionally warm. So one stat I like to say is that temperatures above 35 degrees would have happened once every 50 years last century, and now are happening once every 4 years. And if we look at the frequency of heat waves, which are 3 days in a row higher than 28 degrees, and in the past they might have happened every 3 or 4 years, but now they're happening every year. So it's not only the heat, it's the frequency of the heat that has really changed.
There are people out there, though, aren't there, will say, well, you know, some summers are hot, some are not. You know, what's so special?
Well, the special is the frequency of the hot. What was happening every few years is now happening every year. That's really the big difference. And the things that would have happened every 50 years is now happening every few years. So it's the frequency of these hot weather events. So, yes, 1976 was really hot. It no longer stands out in the record like it did back in the last century.
We're seeing some extraordinary temperatures in France at the moment. I mean, in the 40s.
Yes.
How long before that might happen over here?
Well, we've exceeded 40 in the UK. On this particular site, the hottest temperature we've had is 37.6 in 2022, so we haven't quite reached 40 here, but in the UK we've exceeded 40 already. But again, that's rare at the moment, but we expect going into the next years it will become more frequent.
A bit of a wider question, but as a society, how are we prepared for what's happening? I mean, if the trends continue, it's going to get hotter and hotter.
We're seeing greater preparedness in the UK in terms of warnings and alerts about hot weather and advice on what to do about it, but we are going to have to strengthen that advice if it becomes more frequent. And, for example, maybe have more regulations on outdoor working for, you know, vulnerable groups of workers who spend a lot of time outside. So we are going to have to evolve the way we cope with these hot weather events.
And what is all this telling us about climate science, climate change science? I mean, you are at the cutting edge of this science research. What is it telling you, and what should it tell us?
Well, amongst climate scientists, it's beyond reasonable doubt that this heating is due to human activity. You know, it's just been exceptional and relentless over the past 50 years, a rise in global temperatures. And so it is human activity, and we're still continuing. Our emissions of the main gases causing this warming, like carbon dioxide, are still increasing year on year. And as long as that happens, we'll see temperatures continue to increase.
Still to come on Behind the Headlines, the Chancellor in Northern Ireland for the first time, and how Big Brother is helping to talk about the issue of consent. But first, the number of migrants making the crossing over the English Channel has reached a milestone the government won't have wanted to see. 50,000 people have arrived here in small boats since July last year, when Labour won the general election, promising to smash the gangs. Here's our political editor, Georgie Prodromou.
It took 402 days of Keir Starmer being Prime Minister to hit this milestone, compared to 603 days under Rishi Sunak, and faster than any other Prime Minister so far. The Home Office says they've got a serious plan to stop the boats. I spoke to Government Minister Jackie Smith earlier.
Getting rid of the asylum backlog, taking decisions more quickly, sending people home where they don't have the right to be here, and we're sending more people home than previously. We've increased just last week the numbers of staff at the National Crime Agency working on this. It's why we're taking legislation through Parliament to give terrorism type powers to police and other agencies in order to tackle it. And it's also why we've got this groundbreaking deal with the French, where we've already begun to detain people who come across the channel illegally, and they will be returned to France.
Meanwhile, the Tories tell me the government's plan isn't working. Here's their deputy chair, Matt Vickers.
I think it's devastating news. 50,000 people arriving in the country. And the reality is that these numbers, however bad things were under the last government, it's up 51%. 51% more people arriving.
We know Jackie Smith on the morning round today saying it's not their fault. What do you say to that? Is it because the Tories neglected this issue that it's now got bad? Or
the reality is that previous governments got things wrong, but they didn't get things as wrong as this government. This government changed the law to say that if you come here illegally, you can become a British citizen. That sends the wrong signal to the world. We'd put in place legislation that meant you could deport people, you could detain and remove people who'd arrived here illegally. Labour scrapped all of that legislation. There is no deterrent.
Yesterday, 474 people crossed the channel in 8 small boats, the highest number in one day in August.
Next tonight, people in a Cheshire town centre are being asked to enter a Big Brother-style diary room today to talk openly around consent. Police have taken their consent booth on the road to tackle what officers say are concerning behaviours among young people when it comes to sex and relationships. Our chief reporter Adam Smith went along to find out more in Northwich.
Yeah, in Cheshire, there's not just bobbies on the beat, there's booths on the street.
People in Cheshire, please enter the diary room. Let's talk consent.
Yeah, the back of a police van's been turned into a consent booth. They're taking it onto busy high streets and want passers-by, parents and children to step inside.
We have the van here today, and we've got it's like a mock-up diary room from Big Brother in
take
there.
Me in, so we've walk got a screen. A little bit over. Yep. This sort of cloth that you pull over, and inside
we've got the seat inside.
It becomes completely dark, doesn't it, when you walk in? Black chair in a black cloth. I sit down in the chair. There's a screen in front of me. Behind, I can see again another neon.
Yeah, we've got the neon sign that says consent. It starts with a conversation. And then behind the screens that we've got that's in front of you, we've got the video camera set up there. Could be your younger self that you're talking to. So we've had older people in here, 50, 60, 70, 80. And what would be the conversation that you would have with yourself as you were a teenager? We've got the cue cards that we can use that have got questions on there. So, for example, the first one that we've got here that I can turn to, what would a respectful relationship look like to you? So again, there's a conversation starter. And another one could be, can someone change their mind after saying yes?
PC Sarah Bailiff there, showing me how it works in Sandbach. She's been telling me why they're having to do this. And it stems from children and teenagers in Cheshire who are being influenced by content online that glorifies toxic masculinity and content that normalises abuse.
It's just the increase of reports that we're getting, especially with things that are going online as well, people getting in touch with people online and relationships online. Yeah, some young people thinking that part of the culture is a normal relationship, or it's educating to let them know that it's not a normal relationship.
Next, we're hearing from the Chancellor, who's been on her first visit to Northern Ireland. Rachel Reeves says Northern Ireland is a crucial part of the United Kingdom and welcomed more than £300 million in funding there. Our chief reporter, James Gould, spoke to her in Belfast.
On national television, Northern Ireland was recently described as an economic basket case. That battle between Stormont and London for more funding here is always there. And on her first visit to Northern Ireland, I asked the Chancellor, are we that basket case?
Northern Ireland is absolutely crucial for the United Kingdom, including for our growth prospects. My economic strong belief is that all parts of the country should be able to contribute to economic growth and prosperity, and all parts of the country should benefit from economic growth.
She also met with Deputy First Minister Emma Little-Pengelly and Finance Minister John O'Dowd to discuss how Northern Ireland can be supported going forward.
And finally, Scotland says a fond farewell to Oasis tonight after yet more successful gigs at Edinburgh's Murrayfield as part of their reunion tour. And it's not just been a great few days for the fans, it's also brought a big boost to businesses, as Olivia Thompson reports.
Well, all good things come to an end. Tonight marks Oasis's third and final gig at Murrayfield as they continue on their UK tour. But local businesses aren't looking back in anger as they've seen a supersonic boost in their trade. Paul Paxton is the manager of the Copper Blossom, a bar in the city who've been running a very popular Oasis-themed brunch.
It got to about 4 o'clock on Saturday. We would normally see a bit of a quiet period. We can get a bit of restock, and if anything, it just kept getting busier with people coming into the city to start pre-drinking before going along to Murrayfield. The figures were amazing. You know, we did over 250 of these themed drinks, with over 200 covers for these brunch packages. Incredible and pretty eye-opening, and the customers we had in were lovely.
Paul told me that the customers he spoke to had some lovely stories about the band to tell.
We had a lot of people that were in that were, you know, Oasis was maybe their first concert, and they were taking their kid along for maybe their first concert, and it was just quite a nice, heard the phrase full circle moment used a couple of times, which was really, really nice. And I think just that sense of occasion just like brings out the absolute best in people.
And after Edinburgh, the Gallagher Brothers and band next head to Canada, followed by the USA and Mexico, before returning for a couple more dates at Wembley. And you can find out more on these and other stories on the news pages of our website. And don't forget to come back here tomorrow, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, or listen on the Rayo app. A new episode of Behind the Headlines is uploaded every weekday evening.